Bible Study Vibes is an engaging and interactive YouTube series dedicated to exploring the depths of Scripture and fostering spiritual growth. Each episode delves into specific Bible passages, offering insights, reflections, and practical applications for everyday life. This series aims to create a supportive community where viewers can share their personal experiences, learn from one another, and grow in their faith. Now, whether you're a seasoned believer or just beginning in your spiritual journey, Bible Study Vibes provides a welcoming space to deepen your understanding of God's word and strengthen your relationship with Christ.
A lot of notes.
It is a lot of notes. Oh my goodness, what happened?
John 15.
The title for this lesson is Cultivating the Fruits of the Spirit, which we've been working on for pretty much all this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is we're really nailing in the fruits of the Spirit. So yeah, it's going to be John 15, 1 through 17. I'll volunteer to read the first six.
Okay.
And then if you guys want to continue after me, you're more than welcome. Or I'll keep reading. Just let me know. So Jesus, the true vine. It says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me and is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You want to pick up verse 12?
This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I will no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now, you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Amen.
Do I keep reading?
No, I think that was it.
No, it was just to 17.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. Okay, so I wanted to talk about some key themes that I picked up on from the passage. And if you guys want to share anything that you guys picked up on while we were reading, Bae, were you paying attention?
Yeah, okay. I really was.
Okay, awesome. So, the first one would be abiding in Christ. So obviously we can see here God is saying that, you know, we are the branches, the Lord is the tree. And without the tree, we can't bear fruit. If we fall away from the tree, we will wither and we'll have to be gathered up and burned. So obviously he's telling us that apart from him, we can do nothing. And abiding in him is essential if we want to bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. He also talked about love and obedience. So we see that Jesus commanded us to love one another as he's loved us. And love is central to the fruits of the Spirit, and it's expressed through obedience to his commands. And is there anything else that anybody picked up on?
Yeah, the one thing that I picked up on was even the people that are not believers, or even the people that are not, I'm going to say the people that are not fruitful, and the ones that wither away and they're gathered and to be burned, I feel like that portion was put into there not to stir fear in us, But just to show that even like that God has a design to where even if you don't produce fruit for him, you're still going to be useful some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And you will serve as an example of what not to do. Like, and I think that's so pivotal because that means that we're not, you know, wasted. You know what I'm saying? Even if somebody chooses to not be a follower of Christ, God can still use their lives like as an example of what not to do. Or even like you see the good things in there, like that life still has purpose. So that gives us even more fuel to be like, all right, let me go to non-believers and tell them about God and tell them about Jesus and tell them about the true vine. Because like, even if they choose to deny or if they choose to like not be fruitful or if we, you know, even if they choose to do the opposite of what our intention is,
right,
God can still use them in a way, shape, or form. Like, and I think that's the beauty of the creator, like of God, because he like nothing goes to waste. Nobody and nothing goes to waste. That's what I get from that. Like, just I know how everybody has their main theme and stuff, like, yeah, but that's just I see the inverse of it. Yeah. Amen.
It did sound like amen. Okay. Alex, well, and Destiny, did you guys pick up on any themes that Jesus was talking about in these verses?
The one that stood out to me was the where is she said that? Where I lost
to love
it.
Each other?
Yeah, you go first. I'm looking for it.
Well, I was just thinking about the sermon that we had today was talking about it was the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was a lawyer that came up to him and was asking him, you know, what's the law? And then he said it, and Jesus was like, "You've answered correctly." And then he's like, "But who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus went on and told that story. And then I know love had a lot to do with it, though. That was part of the command that was to love each other. So it was like another time that Jesus had commanded, it was to love your neighbor.
It's kind of what Haji was saying.
That was interesting because it's another time that Jesus is commanding us to love each other. It's the second time that I saw it. So I thought it was interesting that, you know, Jesus has themes of what his priorities are, and the priorities are to love each other.
Sure.
Yeah, that's real.
And I love that, you know, through, like, the fruits of the Spirit, like, God makes it very clear that we're, like, obeying him by following names. Because even, like, if we go to the verse where the fruits of the Spirit is, you know, before that, he lists what are not the fruits of the Spirit, and that's what, like, drunkenness and
any sexual, like
sexual immorality.
Hate is not a fruit of the Spirit, yeah.
So, like, He makes it very, very clear that love is the only way.
Yeah.
There is no other way. We were talking about that about the other day, that, like, you know, the Bible might not explicitly point out, like, everything that we need to do to be followers of Christ, but it gives us, like, guidelines.
There's somebody, like one of the leaders in our Bible study, he was just like, the Bible does not list out things that you should not be doing.
Yeah.
Like, in the Bible, it does not say anything about pedophilia.
Yeah.
But
we know but
you know that you should not be doing that based off of what you should be doing, like what God says you should do, how you should live, and based off of how God created Adam and Eve, and then how he has said, this is the reason why, what's it called? This is why you leave your mother and fathers, you know what I'm saying? This is why you leave your mother's and father's house to cling to your wife. Like, so if you put your life in those guidelines of like, hey, this is what it's supposed to be like, then the negative and all the crazy things that go on and that people do in this life, it won't even line up with the disciplines of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
think that's beautiful. Yeah, it is.
That's beautiful. Right. I love that Bella too.
Bella getting that Bible study in. I love that.
She's chiming in and everything.
Those,
right.
Those some good parents. You know, bring your baby, bring your children a Bible study.
Okay. All right. That was great. Yeah. So moving along, I also have some like reflection and discussion questions. So the first one is, what does it mean to abide in Christ according to this passage?
So when I think about abiding in Christ, I think about spending time with him. Because first and foremost, we have, I want to just put it in a practical way. We have a pepper tree, or not pepper tree, but we have
a little pepper plant.
We have a little pepper plant that's outside, and the peppers can't grow unless they're attached to the vine, and unless they're attached to the vine and to the roots and all that stuff.
Right.
Like if I detach the pepper or detach one of the leaves, then they're gonna wither. They're not gonna produce anything.
Sure.
Like the peppers aren't ready yet. They're still babies. They're still growing. And that's how I feel like that's how I see abiding in Christ. Like, we have to continuously be connected to the source of our water, you know, our strength, our hydration, like all of that, our nutrients. If we're not connected to that, then guess what? We won't be able. If we're not connected to that, then we won't be able to produce anything. That's how I feel like abiding is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. I would definitely agree with that. That was very well said. Did y'all have anything to add?
Not much to add on to being spot on.
Yeah.
Good job, babe. I have an answer written down, which is very, basically what you said, you know. It involves consistently spending time in prayer, reading the Bible, and obeying his teaching.
Amen.
And by doing so, we allow his life and love to flow through us, enabling us to bear spiritual fruit.
One thing I can add, I guess. It's like, so as Christians, you know, we're called to do these things, to love people. And part of that is loving enemies. Like, so we were, you know, listening to the parable of the Good Samaritan.
There you go.
In order to have the energy to love your neighbor, like that posture of, you know, loving your neighbor, that's not something that we are able to sustain. You might be able to love someone for a little bit, but you're going to be worn out, especially if they're just a terrible person in general.
Especially
to love that person day after day.
That's the season I've been in, is all the wickedness is going on in the world. Specifically that shooting that happened with, I think her name was Sonia. How could you look at someone and logically say, you just shot this woman in the face for nothing? I love you. Like, that to a logical person, they'd be like, you're insane. He just murdered her in her own home for doing nothing, and you're saying you love him?
Yeah.
He's got all these, you know, labels that we could give him, but it's like, no, our job is to pray for the people that we love, but also to pray for the people that, you know, we are considered
that don't love us.
But it's so hard. It's easier said than done, but that's what I'm trying to do, because it's easy to pray for Sonia and her kids. But it's hard to pray for him. It's hard to pray for him, because it's like, you know, it's just wickedness.
That's for sure.
You know, I had thought about that the other day, but when we had went to Atlanta the other day, we went to go see Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Oh yeah,
where Dr. Martin Luther King dad was the pastor for like umpteen years. And when we were there, the lady was giving a like a history lesson, and then she said that long story short, the dad said that, I mean, the people at the church and the people that meet the dad or met the dad said that the dad should have hated two people. The first person that he should have hated was the white man that killed his son.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the second person that he should have hated was the black man who killed his wife at that same church. Wow. And Martin Luther King Sr. said he doesn't hate any of them because that's not of God. And he said that when his wife got murdered by the black man inside that church, he brought a gun to the church and killed his wife. And when the black man did that, he went down to the courthouse in the downtown Atlanta or whatever and demanded that they took this man off death row and said that, hey, I would rather him do life in prison than do death row because everybody deserves a chance to, like, you know, redeem themselves. And by hearing somebody that was scorned by this life, who had their son taken away from them and had their wife taken away from them, and they saying that they should still love somebody, that gives me encouragement in humanity. That gives me encouragement in humanity. That gives me encouragement in just the people of God and in the faith. Like, if obviously God gave this man that peace and gave him that long suffering, patience to be able to forgive somebody, to go to that extent to take away two things, two people from you that you can never get back. But like, I don't know, like just that right there was very encouraging. And it made me think, like, hey, there's going to be hardships in this life, but this life is not the end. There is more to life than just where we're going to be, like, right now. So that's why I'm just like, hey, we should pray for our enemies, because at the end of the day, even if somebody was the worst person in the world, if they had repented, like truly repented, and they found Jesus on their deathbed, then they're going to heaven. And some people can't wrap their head around that, but that's how gracious and merciful God is. Because just like Barabbas was spared and Jesus took his place, we are all Barabbas. And Barabbas was a murderer and was a thief. And we all, like, sin and fall short of the Lord. I mean, sin and fall short of the glory of God. So it don't matter how good we are, you cannot good your way to God. So we can either be the worst person or the best people. But if you don't know Jesus, who is the way, truth, and the life, you cannot go to heaven.
Jesus practiced what he preached too, because he was even saying, forgive them, Father, they do not know what they're doing.
Amen.
Even as they're killing him, he was saying that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, like, that's encouragement in itself. Like, I it's crazy to think, but it's only crazy until it happens. And to our carnal minds, it's crazy. But, like, I'm right there with you, Destiny. Like, I can't wrap my head around it, but that's where that faith comes in, and that's where our spiritual exercise got to go from. We got to go from milk to meat. Like, you know what I'm saying? We got to do what Jesus was doing.
Yeah, right. You have to do what you, like, practice what you're reading.
Exactly.
Where
Bell at with my amen?
Oh, yes. She's about to eat. She's frustrated now.
She's all right now, right on?
She slept all day.
Y'all about to have a party.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so the second question I have, it's a more personal question, self-reflective, but it says, how has God pruned you in your spiritual journey?
How has God what?
Pruned you.
I used to look at verse, I have it highlighted too. I used to look at verse 7 and kind of, I don't know, I was doubtful with that verse. It was said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I was like, but will it? But I don't know, I was just doubtful. But he is true and he is faithful.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I feel like for me, I feel like God definitely has pruned me through just, you know, difficult life experiences where he really tests my faith, kind of like Job.
All right, now.
You know, yeah. I feel like I talk about Job in every Bible study, but it's like one of my favorite books in the Bible because it's so real. Uh-huh. Like, the devil was just over here scheming against that man, Job. And Job stayed true. He stayed faithful to God. He never cursed God, even after everybody is telling him, hey, you should curse God and die, man. Job was like, nah. Nah. And I feel like, you know, through similar experiences, you know, just a lot of like death and heartache and grief, God has pruned me and really showed me that like it's through him that I'm gonna only be able to reap the benefits of this life that we're living. Like, there's no other way. There's no other way. I tried to be a crystal toter. I tried to be everything under the sun besides a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And nothing went well in my life until I found Jesus. But God.
But God.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try Jesus.
Well, and that's not to say that everything will go perfect in your life either. Becoming a Christian doesn't automatically mean your life will work out.
And that's what I wrestled with.
I mean, because all the disciples, they ended up dead. And then one that did survive, you know.
But the Lord knows how to give his children gifts.
Mm-hmm. And it's blessings. Like you really have to, sometimes you really do have to look for, you know, the far future, which is with Jesus, and realize, you know, it's like what's your purpose here on earth is to, you know, be his hands and feet, but
right,
you know, because I think about people like my grandpa who has suffered a lot in his life, you mm-hmm. know, and he's still like, no, God is the best thing. I'm like, even though he's allowed, you know, multiple wives to die, you to get sick, your wife to die of cancer, like you grew up as a foster kid. It's like, yep, no, that wasn't God that caused that. That was the devil trying to make those things happen. God is the one that's good.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yeah. God most definitely, even when like, I think as we mature, as you mature in your faith and as we mature in our faith and stuff, I see that what Job was going through, God allowed it. Like, you know, a lot of us think that, oh, the devil this, the devil that. But nah, the devil has no dominion unless God allows things to happen. So God allowed things to happen to Job in such a, like, I feel like in such a dramatic fashion to just show us that, hey, man, even if you living right, and you trying to give your all to me, there's still some stuff that's going to go down in your life. And it can't happen to anybody. So, like, your granddaddy, it was stuff was happening to your granddad, and it was all in God's plan. And yeah. Sometimes we go through things for other people so that we can give testimonies and so that we can share. And you know what I'm saying? Like, these are part of the many mysteries of God. And as God reveals things to us, we got to be like, man, thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. Just like when we read this verse again a week from now or 5 years from now, we're going to get something new out of it. And it's because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to us. And I feel like as we abide in him more, he's going to tell us like, hey, this is why I did this, or this is why this happened to you. I told you no here so that you can run into this person there. Or yeah. Going back to our church, the church, basically at our church, Kaya and I were about to try and audition for the choir, but I had felt in my spirit, I said, man, we going to this church to audition, but we're not going to this church to audition. Like, we're going here, but we're going to get something out of it. And best believe, when we got there, the woman said, oh, well, are you guys married yet? Yeah. And we said, no, not yet. The lady said, well, whenever you do get married, then we can allow you to sing in our choir and stuff, because we have a policy. It's either like you are single and you don't have like you're in your singleness, or you are married. Like, we don't let dating. We can't be serving together in the same ministry. And I said, you know what? Whatever y'all policies are, it's all good. But fast forward to the end of that conversation, We ended up getting a venue for our wedding, getting the bishop and pastor for our wedding, and then getting premarital counseling out of this whole situation. And all of it is what it is, $30 that we had to pay up front for the counseling, and then the rest of it is based off of, like, you know, our counseling. But anyways, we have everything that we need. God provided it for us, but we had to step out on faith to try and do our ministry. And guess what? God said, hey man, I'm telling you not right now when it comes to singing, but look at all these doors I'm opening up for you because you were obedient and you wanted to go and serve me. Like, so I feel like as time goes on, we see when we open up our spiritual eyes, we'll see that God does things or allows things to happen to us for a purpose, because we were sad. We were sad that we couldn't audition, but God said, nah, I got you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
What a testimony. I'm so happy for you guys.
All glory to God. We really appreciate that.
I'm excited to come to Florida for a wedding.
Oh, yeah. Y'all most definitely going to turn up. It's going to be in March on the 29th.
Yes.
We're sending out invitations soon. Don't worry.
Soon enough.
Soon
enough. March?
Yes.
You're going to do March. If you do March 26th, that's Belle's birthday.
Oh, it's the 29th, though.
Yeah.
She'll be 1 year old.
Oh. Dang, she getting,
well, if kids are allowed. Busy.
Yeah, kids are allowed. My nieces and nephews are coming.
I mean, why wouldn't kids be allowed?
Yeah. Since the reception's going to be at our house, I figured why not have kids there? I'll just stay in the house.
Facts.
Somebody be in there. Okay. Enough wedding. So I have...
enough wedding for
enough
now.
Enough wedding for now. I have two more questions. But before we get to the next one, I wanted to go over and reiterate the fruits of the Spirit, which I know it's gone over many, many, many a time. But
you never know.
You never know. And also, I just never get tired of hearing it. I don't ever get tired of Bible. So yeah, so Galatians 5:22 is where we can find the fruits of the Spirit. And it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Amen. So my next question is, which fruits of the Spirit do you find most challenging to cultivate in your life?
All of them.
which do we need to, like, what did you say?
What do you find most challenging to cultivate in your life?
Yeah. Which piece specifically? I said all of them.
That you need more of?
Yeah. I'd say
love,
probably.
Mm-hmm. I want to take this one and say the one that I find most challenging to cultivate in my life would be joy. And I say that because joy comes from knowing God, being in that close, intimate relationship with God that we were talking about beforehand, and coming from a background that wasn't always super spiritual, I'm readjusting to a lot, and I'm thinking joy comes from outside things. Joy comes from, oh, can I go and do this today with my friends, or do I have friends, and, you know, stuff like that. Joy is coming from things of the world. I'm having a really hard time just remembering, hey, maybe the reason why such and such is happening in my life and I'm not happy with it is because, not happy with my life, meaning, you know, whatever. But maybe the reason that I'm experiencing the opposite of joy is because I'm not spending time with God. It's because I'm not, you know, praying to God. It's because I'm not, you know, having an intimate relationship with God. And that's why I'm not experiencing this joy that he's talking of right here.
Yeah.
I don't know the true definition of that. So I feel like I'm having a hard time with that. I'm learning.
Well, thank you for your transparency. I would say We should look up the definition of joy and look up the definition of happiness, because they are similar, but they are not the same. And a lot of, I feel like a lot of, you know, believers, we, I'm gonna say, yeah, me included, I believe that we say, yeah, I'm a happy person. But like, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Like, so it's just like, if God's joy is our strength, I never read in the Bible where it says something made God happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just, no, like, hear me out. So if we can give, if what we do can give God joy, and we are made in God's image,
right,
then that means that joy is a good thing.
Yes.
Happiness, on the other hand,
Go ahead.
Yeah, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So happiness, I don't see happiness in the Bible.
Okay.
And I've heard the phrase happiness happens because things happen.
Yeah,
but it's joy.
Like,
yeah, happiness is like,
it's like a reaction to joy.
Happiness is a reaction. Joy is like a state of being.
Sure.
And I feel like joy, like for me, I'm not gonna speak for everybody, but for me, joy comes with the peace of God. And you ever like been sitting in a place and you can look back on last year, or you can look back on a year and be like, dang, I'm a lot further than I was last year.
Right.
And I'm joyful because I know that only God could have brought me this far. And I know that if God brought me this far, just speaking for me, is what I'm saying, if God brought me this far, then I know God won't leave me. And that's where my joy comes from. Like, just like sometimes we have to remember, like write down and remember like what God has done for us. And then we are reminded. And then guess what? It's not something happening anymore. God done did it in the past. But you just like, nah, like God got me. And if you feel like your parent, your father in heaven has you, then I don't think nothing can take that peace of mind and that joy away from you. That's, sorry for describing joy with the word joy, but peace of mind is what brings me joy.
Okay.
But what did you see? Did you find a definition of joy and happiness?
Oh, well, you had it, you know, right on the head. Like, people feel happiness. Uh-huh. So joy is an attitude that defines circumstances,
uh-huh.
and happiness is a feeling based on circumstances.
Mm.
So if your circumstance is joyful, you're going to experience happiness. It's like one causes the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
So joy is a state of mind.
Yes.
Happiness is a state of being.
Oh,
I bet.
Yeah.
Joy is a state of being.
You had it right. Joy is a state of being.
No, joy is a state of mind.
You're like, confusing me. You're confusing me.
You said something about an attitude.
Yes. Okay, here's a better definition. Joy is the condition of one's life versus happiness, which comes and goes and is mostly dependent upon varying, I don't see the other word, but I'm assuming it's like situation, circumstances, varying, whatever.
Okay. So joy is a mindset, is an attitude. And then, what Destiny said, happiness is the reaction.
There you go. That's much more simpler. Love that.
There you go. Okay. So, like, I don't know. Just,
yeah.
I guess that's what we got to pray on. Pray yes. that God works on our mindset.
Yes.
Being transformed by renewal of our mind to give us joy.
For
Alex,
me,
Destiny, yeah, I was about to say, y'all got something?
For me, it's the self-control. I'm realizing more and more that I have a little person that's looking at me, at everything that I'm doing. And it's like, if I want her to grow up to be a person that reads the Bible, I need to read the Bible. I need to, you know, listen to worship music. And even when it comes down to the mundane things, like keeping the house tidy, or, you know, showing up to work on time, or being good stewards of finances, it all is boiled down to self-control. You know, weight loss and exercise, self-control, you know, you're etching in time in your day. And I'm doing this workout program right now where she's intertwining the scripture into her workouts. And one thing that she says is that it's a an act of worship to move, be able to move our bodies, and that we don't pull our strength from ourselves, but from the Lord. And I'm just like, man, it's shifting how I think. I'm like, oh, everything that I do, I'm going to get older. So it's like, I just need to pray for self-control to, you know, continue to worship the Lord and move my body. Cause it is a privilege that I can move. There's not everybody can move their body. And I'm like, I get in my head about, you know, how I look at being postpartum, but I'm like, I think back to where I was 2 years ago, I would have killed to be in the position I am now. Cause it was so a struggle to have babies for a while. So I'm like, I need to adjust my mindset. But yeah, self-control is one, cause it's I'm realizing that it's tied into everything.
Yeah.
That's real.
That's when I have to pray on.
Absolutely. We're going to pray for you. I was about to say, we're going to pray for you and we're going to check back in. Yeah. Hold you accountable, sister.
Thank you.
For sure. Well, so you gave yours.
Yes.
Destiny gave hers. Did I give mine?
You did.
What was mine?
You didn't. You were answering mine.
Yeah. So one of the things that I struggle with is goodness. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like being yeah. So remember I was crying the other day because I was trying to figure out like how to be good, as in like how to treat people correctly, but also have boundaries, because having boundaries can be a way that we can be good to people too.
Yes.
Not letting them try and run you.
Right.
Like, I don't know, just setting the tone, setting the standard. The yeses are the yeses. Let your noes be noes, like Jesus said. Yes. And like, sometimes I feel as though I can be too nice. And Jesus was flipping tables, man. Like, when people say, what would Jesus do? Jesus flipped tables when they was like selling stuff inside the church. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to read up on it. Like, Jesus wasn't no pushover. So it's just like, and Jesus said, it's okay to have righteous anger. Righteous anger, though. Like, you can be angry, but make sure you angry at sin. Because you can't be angry at people, because if you angry at a person, that means you already done killed them inside your mind.
Yeah.
So that's what I was struggling with. I was like, dang, bro, like, I didn't like the way that this person operated. But, like, I wanted to let them know, hey, don't do this again. Don't do this to anybody, because that's not right. Because I don't know what state of mind they were in. But also, I didn't want to be somebody that was deterring them away from Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you're an ambassador for him. So what you do, you know, looks good or bad.
Right.
As a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
that encounter with Christianity, you know, you're representing Christianity.
Mm-hmm. But then I was reminded, so literally it was crazy, because when we had the Bible study on that Wednesday, I was reminded that, hey, Haji, you're an ambassador for Christ, but you're not Christ, okay? God does not need me.
Yeah.
God wants to use me. Yeah. But God does not need me, so I don't have to put any extra pressure on myself. What Jesus said in his word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah.
Take my yoke.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know what? Yeah, we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes the pressure feels like a burden.
Sometimes the pressure that, I feel like I have to be perfect.
Yeah.
But guess what? We don't have to be perfect. We just got to let Jesus, just let Jesus, look, just hold God's hand and let God walk with you on that beach.
Right.
Let him walk. You walk. He walks in front of you. You walk. Follow his footsteps.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We don't have to walk this life by ourselves. And then guess what? If we got Jesus, we got God, we got the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity, and then we got a community. The Trinity and community. That's what we need. So don't ever think that it's too much like on you. Like, Jesus, he paid the whole price.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
To add to that.
Go ahead, nah.
Just about what he was just talking about, actually, because it just came to my mind. But, like, I feel like hearing that, you know, Jesus saying that his yoke is easy and his burden is light takes the pressure off, but it also humbles us.
Absolutely.
Because, like, not saying that you were being egotistical or anything, but it's like you were putting that added pressure on yourself. And God is saying, listen, I don't need you to do that.
Sit down.
Exactly. Like, oh, sit down. Be humble. Humble yourself. Sit down. Take my hand. Yep. Follow me.
Uh-huh,
this exactly. is what you need to do.
And that's what I got to work on. Like, just being good, but, like, not thinking that Hottie's good. No, yeah, God is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, we kind of have been dancing around this a little bit, but gentleness, I have heard, is not necessarily the best translation for the fruit of the Spirit, and a better translation, I guess, is meekness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to, like, humility. Because, like you said, Jesus was not gentle when he wasn't gingerly flipping the tables over, like, oh, let me be gentle here, you know. No, but it was a meekness, and we just nailed it on the head when we said humility, right? That is, I think, one of the hallmark things, that when you see a good Christian, they're generally very humble people.
You know?
So I think that also is, even though it's translated as gentleness, I think humbleness or meekness might be a better translation.
Okay.
Humble Amen. Enough to, like, to listen and to. I forget. I don't know the exact definition of meekness, but I can look it up.
I'm looking it up right now, actually.
I heard somebody say meekness is, knowing when to use your strength.
Mm. Mm. See, now that's
okay. I like that. The definitions that I'm getting right now are not like that, but I like that definition. But what I'm seeing is, this one says, hold on, I lost it. Oh my goodness, where'd you go? This one, the quality of being quiet, gentle, and unwilling to argue or express your opinions. But I don't think that's what meekness was.
Probably I don't think so.
That kind
of, yeah.
That's not the definition I was thinking of.
Okay. But, mild, moderate, humble, or submissive quality. Mm-hmm. This is what all of these definitions are saying.
I'm telling you, that's what meekness means over here.
Knowing when to use your strength is Jesus kind of
meekness. That's meekness that Jesus had. Knowing when.
That's what I think the difficulty in translating it is that knowing that quiet strength and knowing when to use it.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, someone who shows patient restraint.
Mm.
Right.
That's a good one. Not because really like passive aggressiveness, but it's like, like knowing when you should speak up and say something, or knowing when you should do something, when you should stay quiet. Amen. But I think like also goes hand in hand with self control.
Amen.
I think they all work. Yeah. Like so men that are in the church, a lot of times I feel like they have to be like little, they're like, oh, I have to be a gentle little baby that can't do anything or speak up for myself or stand up or do anything. So I have to be gentle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I think, you know, or turn the other cheek. You have to be weak and submissive. And there's nothing as a man that's less masculine than, you know, being entirely submissive in that way.
We submit all the time.
We submit to one authority, which is Jesus and God. But you know, submitting to the authority of man, especially when it comes down to principles of right and wrong, we do not bow we do not bend our knees, we do not bow to things in this world that are clearly evil, you know. We don't take those things gently. we stand up for those, against those things, because, you know, especially as, you know, a dad raising a daughter, I have to stand up for what's right for her sake, so that, you know, she knows what's right and what's wrong, so that she doesn't have people, you know, able to just impress on her whatever they think is okay.
Amen.
But I think that that's an important distinction.
Which fruits of the spirit do you struggle with?
All of them. But I'd say, I would say love.
It's a very real answer.
Very real.
I think the reason I say love is because love is a huge motivating factor to become a better person, or to, you know, try to achieve all of those other things. Like, you know, if I feel like if I really, really love someone, I would do anything for them.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, you know, that I know, that I'm not very willing to do anything for them. You know, like pray for people, or, you know, give to their ministry, or work really hard on, you know what I mean? It's if you really, really love someone or something, you'll do anything for that thing. And, I'd say that can be pretty lacking sometimes, the enthusiasm to, you know, try to have that conversation with someone.
Yeah. I feel.
Yeah. If you really love somebody, you're going to go the extra mile.
Yep. So I'd say that's the one I struggle with probably the most out of all of them. But all of them, you know, I think I got room for improvement.
Too late.
There's
that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to say, I forgot what scripture it says, but we talk about it often at Bible study, and I love it. They talk about, the scripture says, if you can speak in tongues and preach and do all these things, I think it's in that same scripture that we got the fruits of the Spirit from. It says, if you can do all the things spiritual, you had all the spiritual gifts, but you don't have love, then you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on, we gotta find that. We gotta find that somewhere. But like, I was like, could somebody do some research? Like, so you can
try it.
You hear me?
I got
Google.
No.
But yeah, if we don't have love, man, I'm pretty sure it's in 1 Corinthians, but do not quote me. But yeah, if we don't have love, like, I agree with you, Alex. If we don't have love, man, we can't go the extra mile. We can't love our neighbors. We can't even love God. Like, we can't give it all to God if we don't love him. If we just trying to do things out of routine or just to show faith, yeah.
It's exhausting. You know, it's trying to love someone and you just burn yourself out.
Absolutely. Sure. And when we feel like we're getting exhausted, then that maybe we need to lean more into God and say, God, is it me trying to do this, or is it, you know what I'm saying? Because I know you don't get tired, God. So yep. Let me lean more onto you.
That had to be God, because I had no idea that was in 1 Corinthians. I don't think I've ever even read this verse.
Come on, let's get it. What does it say?
1 Corinthians 13:1-2 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels.
You can change that verse.
What?
Translation?
Oh, I'm reading the New King James Version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That.
You cross translations around here. Okay, so though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Okay, I'm going to change the translation.
For me, just for me.
Okay, I got
that's you. A good translation. I know what you're talking about.
You know, the days and the thous tend to get us. Okay, so I did the new International Version. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing.
And keep going. What is it?
Oh, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Oh, I have read this. Why did I say I didn't read this? It's okay.
Come on now.
So, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Amen.
Amen.
See, that's what... That's what we frequently talk about this in our other Bible study. Like, in our Western culture, we tend to try and like break things down attribute by attribute, just like the attributes of God. Yeah. But like in the Eastern culture on that side over there, they usually like say God is like a father. And then wrapped inside of that father phrase is like a loving and patience and all these things that we expect from the attributes of God, which are like the attributes of a father. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, I have a feeling that all of these things can be wrapped up in love. You know what I'm saying? Like if we have love, like Alex was talking about, then we will do all of these things. If we have love for God, then we will have the joy of God. If we have love for God, like we have the love for God, then we will be kind and patient towards our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like if we try and single out bit by bit what we need to work on, I think we're missing the point. Like, just like God is not just like separated into these, like God is three persons, but one person at the same time. Mm-hmm. So like, it's all meshed. It all works together.
Right.
Because you keep touching the phone. But yeah, go to the last question.
Well, I feel like we've really answered the last question already. I was just going to read what I have written down here.
Okay.
But the final question says, how does the command to love one another relate to the other fruits of the Spirit?
There you go.
Which we've been talking about, praise God.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. But basically it says, love is foundational to all other fruits of the Spirit. When we truly love others as Christ loved us, it naturally leads us to joy in serving them, peace in relationships, patience in bearing with one another's flaws, and so on. Love motivates us to act in ways that reflect the other fruits, making it the cornerstone of a spiritual-filled life. Which really just summarizes everything we just said and, you know, everything that God is all about. It all starts with love, and I feel like it's super important. I noticed, like, when I was reading the fruits of the Spirit, like, love is the first one. It starts there. It's the foundation.
Right. So, God is love.
God is love. Yeah. So, yeah. There you go. Love leads to everything else. Everything else that you need. So, Alex, I feel like if you work on that love, you would just naturally be.
I think we all need to be like Alex and work on our love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the father leading his family. I love it.
There you go.
Nah, all right. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
You wanna like summarize everything we had spoken about today, like the title of the lesson, what month we in?
Oh sure. Okay. So the title of today's lesson was Cultivating the Fruits of the Spirit, which I feel like that's not really a good title. I kind of want to alter that.
You can change the title.
I'm gonna say Jesus the Grapevine.
Ooh, okay, there you go.
It's artistic, you know.
There you get very artistic. I love it.
So our focus scripture today was, of course, John 15:1-17, but we also talked about 1 Corinthians 13, all of it.
There you go.
And Galatians, what is that? I feel like I remember it. 5:22 and 23. Go. There we go. Fruits of the Spirit. In John 15:1-7, Jesus speaks of himself as the true vine and his followers as the branches, and he emphasized the importance of abiding in him to bear much fruit, which is reflective of the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22-23, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this study explored how we can cultivate and manifest these fruits in our daily lives by remaining connected to Jesus.
Yeah. What month being? Month number 8? And what's the title of like our study for the month?
Oh, okay. So the title of this month's study is Harvest Celebration. Yes.
Praise God. We rejoicing and celebrating this harvest. And the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. That's what we love to celebrate. Celebrate new beginnings here. So we appreciate y'all for coming out to Bible study. Appreciate everybody that's listening in the future. And we just pray. We're gonna start recording and pray out, and then yeah, we're gonna make it do what it do. So would anybody like to lead us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Bible Study Vibes. We hope you found some inspiration and encouragement in today's discussion. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up and share it with your friends. But don't forget to subscribe to our channel and click the notification bell so you never miss an episode. You can find more Bible Study Vibes content on our YouTube page at Our Street Gospel. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook under the same name. For daily inspiration and updates, join our growing community and continue to grow in faith with us. Until next time, stay blessed and keep diving into God's Word. Deuces.